stress, fear, depression, spiritual warfare. Are you weighted down? Do you need refreshing? Welcome. Welcome, everyone, to the Warriors for Christ podcast, where we seek to uplift, edify, and encourage you to be light and salt in a dark and tasteless world with your host, Kyle.
Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Warriors for Christ podcast. I'm Kyle.
And I'm Sam.
And we are delighted that you folks are here again with us. Time to get together and talk. Brother Sam, what has the Lord put on your heart for us to get into in this episode?
Well, Kyle, as you know, as I've discussed in previous episodes, with my family, it's just my sister and I that have been freed from sin and that we experience the power of God in our lives. The rest of my family, I look at my parents, you know, I have two other brothers as well. They're kind of just living their own life. If you were to ask my, you know, my dad and my older brother, they're, I think, much more, they seem to be more zealous and defending of the faith that they believe in really strongly. And I've had conversations with them in the past, and it just seems like it creates, it's like this, there's this impossible wall, this veil. I think of myself, you know, if God hadn't come to me separately and I hadn't gone to God and asked him to really, I wanted more of him. I don't know that it's like really God had mercy on my soul. So in this one, I felt convicted to write a letter to my dad, and I'm going to share parts of the letter. Because it gives some insight into what God did in my life and a little bit about, you know, who I am. And I figured, okay, maybe through looking at, okay, God, you can't deny, or Dad, you can't deny my testimony. So let's just put the Word of God aside because it seems like that's a mental block. And let's just, you know, listen to the testimony of what God has done.
So you have reasoned with him through the scriptures, and that's like going up against a wall though.
Kyle, a lot of times, and my sister has tried too, it's like you can't even get into scripture because it and this happens with other people I've met with other pastors. It turns into, well, I already know what that says. Well, that's not what that means. Well, I already know what it says. And I'm like, well, you actually have to read more. God actually defines those terms if you're willing to keep reading. But it comes into a patience and a time. And I found that many people don't. And I found like that's kind of a similar type response that I've received from my dad, that my sister is as well.
So well, like, okay. the one you received from me when you first brought to my attention that I might just actually not be a Christian.
So it's just like, all right, God. So I kind of just moved on. But then God convicted me. So I felt like this was another God saying, hey, plant another seed, but do it this way.
Okay.
And so I did. So I'm just going to share some of that with people. And I pray that maybe with some people, they'll be able to resonate with it and that they'll be blessed by it. So I'll start off here. Dear Dad, God has placed you as head of your household, with the responsibility of leading your family in truth. Growing up, we followed you in our faith. As I accepted the same faith in God through my Lord Jesus Christ, I was confident in the salvation I had in God. Throughout the years, as I grew in my faith and obedience to God, I could see God working in my life, and I attributed it to Christ living in my heart. I had joy when I would share with others the gospel, starting with my classmates. We lived in Guam. Through graduation at the academy, I continued in my faith, getting involved in the local church, serving as youth pastor, small group leader, and planting new churches. As near-miss tragedies happened in my life, I would praise God and thank him for his protection. One such event was during my time at the academy during my sea year. While on a ship, I began to quickly descend a steep flight of stairs in the engine room. My foot got caught and I fell in a complete free fall head first, approximately 15 feet, without touching anything, until my body crashed on the steel floor below. I felt and heard my body smash on the unforgiving floor, and I lay on the ground for a moment, realizing I was still conscious, and I was thinking my body must be shattered. But God must have caught me. I didn't have a single broken bone or bruise. I should have been critically injured, if not dead. See, we were in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, days from port. there would have been no life-saving medical care available. God had mercy on me that day, and I continued my workday, thanking and praising God. As I continued to pursue God, I would be convicted of my sin and my life, and I would strive to overcome it with the help of God. I would pray and I would confess my sins while pleading with God to help me overcome the sin. One of those was pornography. I thank God as I saw my life progressing down a path of sanctification and I got to a point where I no longer looked at pornography. Now, I would still get lustful thoughts in my mind, but at the time, I thought I had overcome this sin because I wasn't outwardly sinning. You see, in my mind, I was taking captive these thoughts to the obedience of Christ. This was the case with several aspects of my life. As I grew older, I had less of a desire for things of the world, and I wanted even more of God. I finally reached a point where I wasn't satisfied with my current relationship with God, and I prayed earnestly, asking God, "How do I get more of you?" I wanted a deeper relationship, like the prophets of old, or the apostles after they were sent out by Christ. Having gone to so many churches, I figured maybe there was some small tweak in what I believed to enable an even more fulfilling relationship with God. At no point was I questioning my standing with God. Now, I was 100% absolute certain that I was a Christian, saved by my faith in Christ, and I had a desire to follow my Lord. I earnestly prayed to God and I asked Him to reveal to me any slight tweaks to my faith. I told God I would accept anything He told me. Because after all, the only thing that matters is that I am following the truth of what God says is true. From that moment forward, my mind and my eyes saw things in the Bible that I remember seeing before, but I wrote it off as, well, that doesn't apply to me because I'm a Christian and God doesn't destroy His people. Or, well, those are normal struggles of a Christian life. Or, well, I know that's what the Bible says, but that's not what it means, right? You have to interpret it. Chapter after chapter, book after book, God continued to convict me of His power and how He wants sin to be removed from my current life. To be cleansed from all sin? That God can do it. That God wants to do it. The question is, do I have faith that God will do it? God convicted me of this, that sin is in the thought. It's in the heart. As soon as I have the thought, I'm already guilty. Anger of man in the thought, guilty of murder. Lust in the eyes, guilty of adultery. This was starting to shake the foundation of my faith. I remember telling God, "But God, this is impossible. I have lived 40 years of my life, and it is impossible to not have those thoughts. They're automatic. They just pop into your mind when life happens to you or you see things." Here, I was thinking that I was overcoming sin because I wouldn't outwardly act out the sinful thoughts that were inside of me. And now God was telling me that I wasn't changed into the new creation. I came to the conclusion, there must be a demonic spirit that's trying to deceive me and interfere with my prayer to God. So I prayed earnestly again, asking God to make His word even more clear and to remove all deceptions and any evil spirits that were attempting to mislead me. Following this prayer, God revealed even more in His scripture the same truth. God was showing me the full context of His story and that all of these misapplications of his word were now standing out as if a bright light exposing them. I remember telling God again, "But God, this can't be. God, this is impossible. God, I don't know anyone who believes or teaches this. If this is true, no one's going to get into heaven." I began spending up to 40 hours a week reading my Bible over and over and over. I was taking notes and then rereading again. I went through this struggle for an entire year. Towards the end, as I continued to see the truth of God in every book, I was more convicted to the point of even be willing to be exposed to embarrassment by subtly engaging other leaders and pastors of what God was revealing to me. But they would continue to reassure me of the faith that I currently held, and they would say, "No, I know what it says, but that's not what it means," or, "Well, that doesn't apply to Christians." I now came to a point of decision. What truth was I going to accept and put my faith in? God had shown me that what is weak in the flesh can overcome by the law of the Spirit of life. This was demonstrated by the Spirit that allowed Christ to overcome that which is weak in the flesh, to be filled with all the same fullness that Christ had, to now walk just like Christ in the same power, the same holiness, to walk in light just as God is light, having no darkness at all, to be holy as God is holy in all of my behavior, to be finally cleansed from all sin, to no longer have the sinful thoughts dwelling or living in me anymore, to let God crucify, destroy, and remove all sin from my heart so that I could finally be free from sin. And now I could live a holy life to God as a pure sacrifice, proving His will in my life, all that which is good, acceptable, and perfect. God wanted me to be free from this life of being an infant in Christ, the infant still enslaved to things of the world, not having the power of the Holy Spirit living in me, not being able to understand the things of the Spirit, although I was convinced that I did, no longer living with the two natures, the flesh and the spirit, having light and darkness, bearing good fruit and bad fruit, producing both bitter and fresh water, being lukewarm, having a little leaven, serving two masters. No, but now to be a son of God, clothed with power, cleansed from all sin, walking as God walked.
Amen.
Serving only one master, being light, having no dark part in me, being holy in all my behavior, ceasing from sin. Oh, not just external, but now also in all my thoughts, by the power of God. Faced with this decision, I had to choose. What was I going to place my faith in? If I accepted the faith that I'd been raised up in, well, I'd keep my fellowship with my current Christian friends, my family. I'd remain secure in my faith. I would have the future promise of eternal life. But that would require me to continue to hold on to the teachings of man, who were inaccurately handling the word of truth, to reject this impossible truth that God was now revealing and showing to me everywhere in His word. You see, to believe what God was revealing to me would require me to put my faith in the following items. A faith that most of the Christian world rejects. A faith resulting in the church persecuting me while thinking that they serve God. A sword and a division being brought to my family and the loss of friends. Confessing that I still was a sinner, I had not been changed, that I don't have fellowship with God, that I have not been cleansed from all sin. Agreeing with God's current declaration of me, that even though I say I have fellowship with God, even though in God's eyes I say I have no sin, I say that I know God, I say that I'm in light, but God's response, you still walk in darkness. You are a liar. The truth is not in you. You think you have no sin, or having been cleansed from all sin by God, but you're deceiving yourself. The truth is not in you. You do not keep the commandments. Again, you are a liar. The truth is not in you. You are in darkness. You walk in the darkness. And darkness has blinded your eyes. A faith that now believes in an impossible work that requires God to put to death my body of flesh and raise me from the dead into a newness of life to now live a life free from sin. In complete faith to God, I surrendered and I agreed with God. I collapsed to the floor in my bedroom and I bitterly wept deep from my soul over my sin and my complete separation from God. In a moment, feeling completely separated, abandoned to hell with a decree of death as a sinner, knowing that it was impossible for me to change myself and that I could never live a holy, godly life honoring to God. No longer was I coming as the man thinking that he had peace with God, the self-professing Christian, but now coming as the condemned man, the sinner before God, beating his chest, as discussed in Luke chapter 18. But now in this new faith before God, I cried out and I appealed to God, knowing that Jesus didn't just die for my sins to make payment, but he died so that I also could die to sin, to be changed into the new man, a son of God, full of the Spirit of God, and now live a life of righteousness, to follow in the steps of my Lord Jesus Christ. In faith, I declared the true promise of God. In faith, I believed, being convinced that only God could change me, and he will change me. And praise God, he was true to his word. He honored the faith in this impossible work. All the sinful thoughts that used to live in my heart have been removed. Sin no longer dwells in me, but the fullness of God. It is an easy yoke because the Spirit of God now does all the work. God has also opened my eyes to the following items. The wolves are in the churches as leaders. The wolves think they are light, and they think they are sheep. The people following the wolves also think they are light and sheep. These wolves deceive themselves while they deceive others, just as God's word says. There are apostles of Christ, angels of light, servants of righteousness in the church. And this is how the church sees them. But there's a problem. God says that they are all servants of the devil. They will worship, they will serve, they will feast and celebrate with you, yet they are hidden reefs that no one sees, and so many faiths are being shipwrecked. God will respond to faith. He will move in His power to declare His glory. But this does not mean that an individual has a saving faith. God will perform healings, miracles, and demons will be cast out. But Jesus will still say to them, "Depart from me. I don't know you." People will still believe and confess Jesus is Lord. But Jesus will still say, "Depart from me." Why? Because He doesn't know them. "You say you have come to know me, but you do not keep my commandments." The people still continue with sin. They could not be freed. Jesus spoke the following to those who had believed in Him. "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Jesus answered them, and He continued to say, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. Truly, truly, I say to you, the slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son does remain forever." This was from John chapter 8, verses 31 to 34. The rebellion of Korah. All the leaders were convinced they were true servants of God, that they were a holy people. Yet God chose and showed them that they were liars and did not have the truth. Yet in spite of God doing supernatural signs to prove to them, they still would not humble themselves and consider that just maybe God looked at them in a different way. Numbers chapter 16. A watchman does not have the right to remain silent and not point out the sin and false belief in people's lives. If he were to remain silent, God would take the life of both the sinner and the watchman. "I am declaring to you the truth. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, and the power of God is the only such thing that can perform this work. The one true sign in every son of God is being freed from the sin, sin being removed and destroyed from their life, no longer living a life with struggles and constant confessions and inability to have sin removed from their thoughts, where it lives in every man born into this world before they are born of the Spirit." God has placed two witnesses in your life, your own son and your own daughter. Please, I beg you to appeal to God, to test this message, to go to the Word of God. But please, be willing to let God remove all the mountains that have been established and to teach you all of His ways. So that's what I was convicted at some of the letter that I've shared. That's what God convicted me to write. And for those that are listening, that gives you some insight more into my life and my testimony. There's so much more. And also, Kyle, it's important to note, there's a lot of people seeking God. God's always working around them. God's always doing things in their life. I can point to things that I can only attribute to God in my life before He actually changed me. That doesn't mean that God was in me. I was convinced. Kyle, if you would ask me, I said, this is proof that I'm a Christian. This is proof that God is in me. No, Kyle, it was proof that God was working around me, convicting me, showing me, still trying to draw me out of the darkness and the lie that I was still in. So that's what I wanted to share today.
I think it's a powerful testimony. I think that anyone out there listening right now, I think that if you truly look and test your heart and ask yourself in the fullness and truth of the conscience, are you truly without sin in your heart? If you can answer that yes, then praise God and thank you, Lord, for filling that person with your spirit. But if you out there right now do not have that peace, if you wandered in those same, down that same pathway, then just maybe you might be like we were at one point. And it's time to humble yourself. It's time to reevaluate. It's time to go fully and truthfully to the Master and proclaim that you believe what he says about you, that you're a sinner. You're in darkness. And you want him to remove that. You want that man to be crucified and dead. Or that woman, if you're a young woman out there. It is time right now, right here today, for the Lord God to speak to you and to testify your condition. And I pray, O Lord, let your spirit move in them and bring and call your children home. Father, we praise you and thank you for this time and the truth of this testimony. You say in your word that your testimonies are sweet, and Father, this is a sweet testimony. For had not Sam been changed by your spirit, O Lord, I might still be in the fire. And I praise you and thank you. I praise you and thank you for rescuing me from the fire. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed the program, consider subscribing and sharing with your friends. Thanks for listening.